Stuart Vitigo with Sampson and Vitigo on behalf of the town of Frederick, the appellant.
Thank you.
This case is not about exercising any power that's been reserved for the state. Instead, this case is about upholding parallel land use authorities under the Oil and Gas Conservation Act, namely the right for local jurisdictions to monitor well sites along with the state, but to monitor them for local issues and to collect the cost of that service. There's a very narrow little inquiry at the heart of this matter. Can the town charge for the monitoring service that it provides? A monitoring service that is land maintenance focused, not well operation focused. An inspection or monitoring service that looks at the surface impacts of special use permits, not the technical effects of well operations. This dispute cannot be resolved through the use of express or implied preemption, as those two forms of analysis were thrown out in 1992 with the Bowen Edwards case. Rather, case law instructs that the only way to resolve this potential conflict between state and local rules is through an operational conflict analysis.
Can I ask you, Mr. Vitigo?
Yes, sir.
Excuse me for interrupting you. I read this with interest, and I'll just tell you, when I was reading your brief, I kept waiting for when you were going to talk about the statute. And we kind of get into this preemption analysis, and I'm not quite sure why we get there. But we have a statute on point that says what you can and can't do, you know, 346106 sub 15. No local government may charge a tax or fee regarding matters that are subject to rule, regulation, order, et cetera. Then the next sentence gives the exception to that. Why shouldn't we be focused on what that statute allows? I mean, doesn't this case turn on, number one, was this regard to matters that are subject to rule, regulation, or permit condition administered by the commission? And if it is subject to those, isn't question number two whether it fits within the exception in that statutory provision?
Your Honor, that is exactly what should be done. Okay. That very subsection 15 of 346106, is what frames the local government carve out for this type of inspection, this type of monitoring service that the town provides. The first portion of that clause is what Kaufman has argued throughout is all that the court had to look at. The second portion of that clause is exactly what the town believes creates this authority, and it's what cases, starting with Bowen Edwards, specifically have upheld, namely the right for local governments to inspect well sites in ways that do not conflict with state rules, and then to impose a fee for that service.
Mr. Vitigar, let me just ask you, you talk about the right to inspect and then the right to charge a fee. Is the only issue before us the right to charge a fee?
Your Honor, in the trial court, Kaufman admitted that they did not dispute the right for the town to conduct an inspection. They are only challenging the right for the town to collect that fee. Now, it seems a little counterintuitive to say, go ahead with the inspection. Go ahead with the inspection that's authorized under the statute, but you can't collect the fee that's authorized under the statute. And that kind of incongruence is why the town of Frederick has brought this appeal. If you look at the district court's order, it just took too broad of an approach and really didn't apply not only the case law, but didn't really read the full text of 3461.
If you do read the full text of the provision, there is an exception. It has to be a reasonable and non-discriminatory fee. Can you address the issue of whether it's discriminatory to the extent that inspection fees are not charged for inspections of other kinds of businesses and operations?
Well, I believe that the testimony from the evidentiary hearing on the record does reveal that monitoring fees, inspection fees, are collected from other activities within the town. They're just collected in other ways. For example, with a building permit, you pay an additional fee up front, in addition to your building permit fee, to cover the cost of the building official doing the inspections.
Okay? That in the record?
That is in the record. Unfortunately, I can't cite you exactly where in the transcript that testimony is, but I believe it was the testimony of Gary West, who was recognized by the court as a land use expert, as well as by the testimony of Jay Jay, who is one of our, it's his first name, the community service officer who does the well inspections.
So as far as this testimony, was there testimony about what fee was charged, and is it across the board for all operations the same fee, or does it differ, even if you're saying it's in a different form, such as a permit fee?
Right. If I'm understanding the question correctly, you're asking whether the fee, whether there's a single fee that's charged for all land use activities, for inspections of land use activities. No, that there's a different fee for a building permit than you pay for a land use application. Part of the fee structure, I mean, without getting too far down a rabbit hole here, the fee that you pay for a building permit is based initially on the cost of the improvements for the building. You put up $1 million building, your permit's going to cost more than, you know, you put up a $50,000.
And was this part of the testimony?
As to the cost structure for a building permit, I don't believe that was part of the testimony, no.
Let me ask you, Mr. Vitergaard, I want to make sure I understand your argument. Do you concede, at least for purposes of argument here, that the fee here was with regard to a matter that is subject to rule regulation that the commission administers? Do you concede that part, but then argue that the exception applies, or are you disputing both sides?
Well, Your Honor, I think that the issue here is statutory interpretation of what that section of subsection 15 matters subject to state rule regulation, etc. If that means any subject that the state touches upon, that leads to an absurd result, okay? And it's not consistent with the cases, including the BDS International case, the Colorado Mining Association case, and even the Town of Frederick versus Narco case, okay? It doesn't make any sense to say if the state touches upon this rule in any way whatsoever, no municipality, no county can adopt a rule that also addresses that subject matter.
But I'm not sure that, why doesn't the exception handle that? I mean, I'm going to float a hypothesis here. I mean, one can read this to mean is it's within the commission's jurisdiction to review these things, then it's regard to matters subject to their rules, regulations. And it seems to me there's evidence in the record here suggests they do regulate on the very issues you're talking about. But then you get to the exception, which is, you know, I think where you're focused, that this is a, you're arguing a reasonable non-discriminatory fee on local fire codes, land use, et cetera. So I guess I'm not quite sure still what your position is on the first piece.
I do agree that the exception applies. Okay. But also, what I want to engage you with is that matters subject to doesn't mean subject matter similarity. In fact, the Colorado Mining Association case states that towns, well, the local governments and the state can have rules on the same subject so long as they do not conflict. And that's a little bit of a nuance from what you were stating, Your Honor. I believe both aspects, both clauses apply to the tax collector's case. But what I think that the district court really just didn't appreciate at all is that very thing. The parallel regulations, the parallel regulatory structure that's set up not only in the Oil and Gas Conservation Act, but through the Land Use Enabling Act, okay, that empowers local governments to protect their citizens, protect the use, enjoyment, safety of the residents of their community by adopting land use rules, by adopting building permits, conditions, building codes, land use codes, fire codes, etc. I really just don't. We didn't get the impression, in fact, as the court looks at the language.
Mr. Vitergaard, I've been trying not to interrupt you. You asked me to say it 7 minutes, so I did, but I just didn't want to interrupt you, so go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. It's clear that the district court really didn't appreciate that there is to be a parallel regulatory structure, and you have to look at what the state's regulating and see if what the town or the county is regulating interferes with that. That's the crux of it. And the district court.
But where do you get the interference test, though, out of the wording?
Excuse me, Your Honor.
Where do you get the interference test out of the wording of the statute?
The operational conflicts. So when you look at the cases that have interpreted the act, they've found that the act in and of itself does not displace all local land use rules. Therefore, courts have found you have to look at what what is the state regulating? What is the town regulating? Can the two be harmoniously, can they be harmoniously given the effect of their language? And there are a number of cases cited in our briefs that, that uphold that very principle, that unless there's a conflict, state and local rules, even on the same subject, are permissible.
Well, what do you do with, you know, this charge of reasonable non-discriminatory fee? Your argument would read that out. As long as they're on the same subject, if your view is if it goes to a local matter, it's okay. But that ignores what the statute says, that it has to be a reasonable and non-discriminatory fee for these certain things. But I guess I'm concerned you're arguing a little too broadly. I mean, it has to, I get it talks about local fire codes, land use permit conditions, and local business codes. It says a locality can bill for that if it's reasonable and non-discriminatory, right?
Correct.
Okay, we need to consider whether it's reasonable and non-discriminatory here, correct?
Certainly, that is an aspect of it. But you'll notice in the record there actually is no evidence of unreasonable or discriminatory nature. And that's also one of the issues that we have with the district court's order. And I'd like to reserve the rest of my time if I may.
Of course. Thank you, sir.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Ken Wunstall. I'm here for KP Kaufman, so I'll refer to them probably as KPK. I refer to the town of Frederick as either the town or Frederick. This is not a building permit case. It is not a fire code case. It is not a land use permit condition case. This is, as the court's questions suggest, is a straightforward issue of the application of an express statutory prohibition against the very sort of fee that the town of Frederick seeks to impose. The town admitted as much in its response to our request for admissions. It admitted that it regulated that the fee was charged in connection with 8 subject matters, all of which are subject matters under the jurisdiction of the Oil and Gas Commission. There couldn't be a clearer case for the application of this statute. And indeed, if this statute is not applied here, there are no circumstances that I could see where this statute would ever have any meaning.
So your argument, Mr. Wunstallen, is at least on the first piece of the section 15 here, is matters subject to rule, regulation, et cetera, of the commission means within the jurisdiction of the commission, or is something actually regulated by the commission?
Subject to, I believe, is subject matter jurisdiction. Those are the words of subject matter jurisdiction. Here, there isn't a question as to whether or not there's a specific commission regulation. Those are laid out in the briefs and the record. There are numerous rule references ascribed to each of the 8 items that the town is charging a fee for. And once again, council has persisted throughout this matter of trying to broaden this case to something it is not. KPK did not challenge the right of the town to inspect oil and gas sites. We did not challenge their land use authority. We simply said that under this express prohibition adopted by the legislature, you can't charge a fee for these things. And whether or not that makes sense or not, that isn't up to me. It's not necessarily up to you. That was a decision the legislature made.
Go to the second part of the provision, though.
Excuse me?
Can you go to the second part of the
Sure.
provision that nothing shall affect the ability of a local government to charge a reasonable non-discriminatory fee and so on for inspections?
Judge Maas provided plenty of opportunity for the town to try and shoehorn its inspection fee over into those permitted categories. It failed to do so. The facts, once the town admitted early on in pleadings that its fee covered these 8 matters, which are clearly under commission rule, it really was the end of the inquiry here.
I guess I don't understand that, Mr. Wunstallen. It seems to me that gets you satisfied the first part. Then we need to look at the second part, which is they can, push back. I'm just posing a hypothesis here to you. I read this, or can be read, let me say it that way, to mean that they can regulate in exactly the matters subject to regulation by the commission if it relates to local fire codes, et cetera, and if it's reasonable and non-discriminatory. Why is that interpretation of that statute wrong?
I'm not sure I read it quite the way you do that.
Okay,
that
please.
You have this overlap under the first section and then completely rehabilitate it by simply labeling it a fire code matter or a building code matter. You know, building permits are something you pay when you construct a facility up front. It's not an ongoing annual inspection. Oil and gas companies pay building permits for their surface facilities. But Judge Moss looked at that second clause. He found, number one, land use permit conditions, which is one of the permitted exceptions, are not at issue here. These are legacy wells that were drilled before the town had a permit requirement for oil and gas wells. These wells are not subject or covered by a land use permit, so that's off the table. He allowed the town's officers to testify as to whether or not they were inspecting for fire code matters or building permit matters. They failed to show that that's what they were doing. They admitted from the start, and they admitted on the stand, that what they were doing was looking at these eight listed items. That's what appears on their inspection checklist. That's what they told the Oil and Gas Commission they were doing in their correspondence. That's what they told the operators they were being charged for. That's what the officers testified to on the stand. Judge Moss conducted a very thorough evidentiary hearing on this exact issue. Both the first clause is self-evident. These eight matters that the town says it inspects for, admits it inspects for, are covered by commission rule. That's self-evident. And then we had an evidentiary hearing, and the evidence put on the town failed to show that any of these exceptions in the second clause apply. Judge Moss did a thorough examination of that, properly found that the evidence on the record, which is not reviewed de novo here, this is a CRCP 52 matter. This was an evidentiary hearing. And unless there's no evidence on the record, his decision on this should be upheld. He's the one who saw the witnesses.
Ms. Rosslyn, what is your position about there was testimony by one of the witnesses that it was a non-discriminatory fee that was charged across the board for different types of industries?
I don't think that holds, and Judge Moss didn't find that way. A building permit that is paid up front when you first come to construct a facility in town is not in any way equivalent to an annual inspection fee for eight specific matters. There's no equivalence there. And if we find that all you have to do is relabel these things or say, well, this permit fee over here is somehow similar, it really isn't, then we can evade Section 1. Section 1 loses its meaning. We have to have a situation where Section 1 is applied, or we might as well read it out of the law.
I'm saying there's no indication in the record that the purpose of the fee was for inspections for compliance with local fire codes, for example. They didn't testify that that was the purpose.
You know, I think they tried to suggest that might be part of what they looked at in attempting to rehabilitate their fee. The judge wasn't convinced. The judge found, as I said, number one, no land use permit condition at issue here, that these were not fire code inspections. These were not building permit inspections. These were inspections for exactly what the town said it inspected for, the eight subject matters that are under the jurisdiction and the specific regulation of the Oil and Gas Commission.
I ask you to go back. I have a question on the procedure here, Mr. Wanstolen. This came up on a motion for summary judgment, right? You said it's Rule 52 because the court made findings. I guess I'm a little stuck on that. I mean, at least it seems to be procedurally the court. It was a motion for summary judgment here, which the court, I gather, granted. I can't remember what procedurally who was moving and what. And that the court, why isn't this a motion for summary judgment where the court took the evidence from the hearing as part of the summary judgment submissions, which is, frankly, what it seemed to me the court was doing?
Yeah, it was a strange hybrid. We thought that our motion for summary judgment was susceptible to the court's decision without evidentiary hearing. I think because of this record of starting with Bowen Edwards and other cases and the remand that many justices have seen over the years under this operational conflict doctrine, Judge Moss, out of an abundance of caution, said, you know what, I don't want to just go based on the pleadings. I'm going to conduct an evidentiary hearing here. After hearing that evidence and making his evidentiary findings, he then said, you know, after hearing the evidence, I'm going to grant the motion on summary judgment.
Right. So, and that's exactly how I read it. So why isn't our review de novo?
And what we do with the hearing evidence is that we treat it as evidence, you know, in favor or against the motion for summary judgment. So the question for us is whether the evidence, I'm making this a statement, but it's a question. Seems to me the question for us really is, did the evidence at the hearing create a genuine issue of material fact? Your argument is no, and that's fine. Am I wrong about that procedure?
Yeah, the issue of whether it's de novo or not is not key to my argument one way or the other.
All right. So, I appreciate
not
that.
Go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, and then it goes to, I mean, the reason I'm asking, it goes to clearly erroneous. I mean, but, you know, or is it a clearly erroneous standard or is it de novo? I mean, the court found that the fee was unreasonable here. And I gather the court's view is, you know, these guys just went out and looked and said, okay, and it's unreasonable to charge $400 or whatever it was for that. Seemed to be what the court was doing. Now, if it's summary judgment, that may be a different question than whether it's a clearly erroneous standard. That's why I was asking.
Yep. And I think it's worthwhile at this point maybe going back to the bigger context here. In 1994, the town settled with some previous litigants. It repealed what it had termed as an occupational privilege tax on oil and gas and replaced it with this fee. You know, unfortunately, I guess they didn't quite figure out what the 96 bill said explicitly, and they listed on their inspection checklist the exact same items that the commission and the commission's attorney general said, we regulate this. You shouldn't be charging a fee for this. Now, you know, the town is trying to tell you that somehow the district court limited the issue as to whether or not the act permits local inspections. That wasn't the issue. Nor did it assume that the local government has no control over oil and gas facilities if a local rule touches the same subject matter. That wasn't the issue. It did not find that Frederick lacks statutory authority for the town's monitoring practices. And it did not rule that the commission has the exclusive right to regulate everything within any area mentioned in the act. The court's ruling is narrow and specific. Based on the evidence in the hearing, in the pleadings, the admission of the town, the fee was charged in connection with inspecting eight subject matters, which are under direct regulation by the Oil and Gas Commission. If that isn't the clearest case for the application of this statute, there never will be one. This statute was adopted in 1996 in direct reaction to what towns like Frederick were doing, looking to generate more revenue from oil and gas companies. And the legislature, the General Assembly said, look, these companies pay severance taxes, real property taxes, ad valorem taxes, business personal property taxes. They pay a special mill levy to the Oil and Gas Commission to fund the inspection activities of that commission. If we now let local governments go down this path, and at one point they were talking about $1,000 per year per well, you know, we're just going to be saying to local governments, the door is open. Walk through and start charging more money to oil and gas companies. That's why House Bill 96-1045 outlawed both occupational privilege taxes and inspection fees for matters subject to commission regulation in the same act. It was covering the waterfront saying, we're stopping this. We're not going to let local governments become the taxing authority for oil and gas.
As that's clear from the first part of the provision, but the second part seems to create an exception, and that's, I think, what we're grappling with is,
Your Honor, full disclosure, I work on these things in the legislature.
I understand.
If you don't want Colorado Counties, Inc. and Colorado Municipal League to come in and seek to defeat your bill, you put a provision like that in. But that bill, that exception was carefully crafted, reasonable. Judge Moss found here, this is not, $400 isn't even reasonable. These officers drive by and they look. That's not reasonable. Judge Moss found that. And non-discriminatory, on its face. It can't be non-discriminatory. It is only applied to oil and gas companies. Look at the Durango-Silverton Railroad case, you know, where the tourism tax was only applied to the railroad. This is similar on that. So it's not reasonable. The judge found this. It's not non-discriminatory. And as I indicated, it doesn't relate to land use permit conditions. It's not a building permit case. It's not a fire code case.
Let me ask you a hypothetical here, Mr. Wonsolin, if I can. So the categories you listed in your brief, you know, say one, you got brush and weeds, those two categories. What if there, and this is a hypothetical, let's say for argument's sake, the fire code for the town says specifically we can inspect for brush and weeds because brush and weeds can create, you know, serious forest fires, whatever else. Is your position that
that would not fit under the exception in 15 because the commission also regulates it?
Yes, it is, Your Honor. I believe that the town could at that point refer the matter to the Oil and Gas Commission. And in fact, it told operators we're going to be conducting these inspections. And to the extent we find that your signs are deficient or berms need repair, or we see a spill or brush needs to be cut down, we're going to refer these matters to the Oil and Gas Commission. So I think it recognized right from the start these are all matters the commission can and should address. If the town has concerns in that regard, that's its avenue to do so. And it can go out and inspect to its heart's delight. It just can't charge a fee.
But how do you square that with the second sentence? Let's take the hypothetical I gave you. Assume that the local fire code specifically says we can inspect for brush and weeds. Assume that. I mean, how do you square that the statute says nothing shall affect their ability to charge a reasonable fee for inspection and monitoring for, among other things, compliance with local fire codes? They say, I'm checking for compliance with local fire codes.
My inquiry, Your Honor, would be, do they charge every other business in town?
Well, that goes to discriminatory. Fair enough.
To look at their brush and weeds?
Sure, but that's a different question than can you do it in the first place. So let's assume it was assume another piece of my hypothetical. It's non-discriminatory and it's reasonable. We'll assume that for purposes here. Would that be permissible? They can go. Their local fire code says we can inspect for weeds and brush. Are they allowed to do that under this exception?
I don't think that they can simply adopt at the local level a redundant rule, a duplicate rule, and say we're now out from under the first clause. That just swallows the first clause, makes it meaningless. So I represent oil and gas companies, and I would say in answer to that question, no, they can't. You've got to have something that's of more general application, it's being applied equally across the community at the same rate, the same charge, then we'll talk about it. That's not what we have here.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Whitaker, you've got 3 minutes and 51 seconds.
Thank you, Your Honor.
I'd like to begin with an example of why the interpretation that Kaufman convinced the district judge was appropriate with regard to matters subject to oil and gas rules doesn't make any sense. Okay? If you look at rule... It's in the...
Let's come back to the microphone, Mr. Vitor. Told you, I tell you.
Thank you for catching me on that. If you look at the rule for fencing, okay? If you look actually in the record at 991, okay? This is the town of Frederick's Exhibit S at the hearing, okay? At the evidentiary hearing. What you'll see is if you look at one of the rules cited by Kaufman as the basis to establish why the state has exclusive control over fences. Okay, they cited this 603 sub A. Okay, and just to paraphrase, I'm going to read the last couple sentences here. All right. A completed well shall be surrounded by a fence 6 feet in height, constructed in conformance with local written standards, as long as the material is non-combustible and allows for adequate ventilation, and the gates shall be locked. If you also remember in the record, we've got an affidavit from David Neslin, then the director of the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission, who said, our inspectors do not monitor for compliance with local rules. Well, a state rule says our rule means you have to comply with the local rule. So how can there be no room for the local rule? Okay, that's one thing to consider. Another thing I want to address is unreasonableness. Right? So the district court said the town's fee was unreasonable because it didn't look at testing of soil. It didn't do measurements. Well, this is another example of why the district court really didn't appreciate not only the case law supporting the town's right to conduct inspections, but the parallel local government and state regulatory scheme. Because if you read the Bowen Edwards case, it states that there are technical areas where local governments are going to be preempted. Well, all the areas that the district court cited as being in support of making the fee reasonable were all technical areas. The court said that the town's fee was unreasonable because the officers just did a visual inspection. Well, the town never tried to test the ground, never tried to test the soil. That's an area that's well within the purview.
What evidence did you introduce at this hearing or in summary judgment briefing that the fee was reasonable? I would assume the kind of evidence you could put on is what they're doing and what for. I mean, what evidence from their side, I gather, and the court agreed, all they're doing is looking. There was apparently some evidence of that. What did you put on to justify the fee as reasonable?
Primarily was the testimony of our community service officers.
And what did they say beyond, we go and look?
Yeah, I don't remember all the exact language that was used, but they stated that they had a set of criteria, the town's building code, the town's land use code, and fire code, and they monitor for inspection.
And forgive me, I just don't remember. Did they talk about how long they're out there at each site or anything like that?
I don't believe so, Your Honor.
All right, thank you.
And it appears I'm out of time. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Vigor. We thank you, and Mr. Wanstall, thank you, and all counsel for your arguments and your briefs. They are helpful to the court. We very much appreciate them. The case will stand submitted, and a written opinion will issue in due course. With that.